Welcome to Catalyze, the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
If you're like me, you might have grown up with some pretty disempowering beliefs about money. Just last week, my dad called and he made this offhanded comment that really caught me off guard. And he said, "Honey, aren't you glad you grew up poor?" Whoa, what a loaded concept to ponder. How would you respond to that? Inwardly, I just wanted to say, no, I wanted to grow up wealthy. I wanted to travel like my cousins did. I wanted to study abroad. But I knew what he was really trying to convey, that I should be grateful that I was instilled with a strong work ethic and I didn't grow up as some entitled spoiled brat. But just hearing what he said took me back to my childhood on a farm in West Central Minnesota, where everything revolved around hard work and my self-concept around money was one of never enough. So as the oldest child of three, I was thrown into doing chores around the farm at a very early age. I was driving tractor by the time I was 10. I was helping dad with tasks like baling hay, cutting wood, and even some really unpleasant things like cutting balls off pigs. And by the way, that last skill set is one that my husband is not very proud of. It makes him kind of nervous. But let's face it, you know, we all have a money story based on the messages that we received early on, especially from the time that we were born to about age 7, when many of the beliefs that we carry on the subconscious level are imprinted. So I invite you to think about the messages that you received. What were some of your earliest recollections about money? So please take a moment to reflect yours and feel free to share them. I heard things like, money doesn't grow on trees. We can't afford it. And the worst one I heard, this was in second grade. My mom said, when you grow up, you better marry a really wealthy guy because you like really nice stuff. Ooh. So the central belief that I came away from my childhood with was that I'm not enough. I'm not worthy of having more money unless I've worked hard enough or suffered long enough to deserve it. And money is for other people, not for me. And I also had kind of a subconscious desire to prove my mother wrong about needing to marry that wealthy guy, just to prove that I could do it on my own. And that became a lot of push energy of resistance that really didn't help me. Because what happened, you know, we're all such incredible, powerful creators of our own reality, is that my reality became one of hard work and struggle. And I spent most of my adult life working 3 jobs, caught up in a cycle of overworking and under-earning. And my theme song could have been, she works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. Yes, that Donna Summer tune was kind of my motto, my adage growing up and through the majority of my adult life. That is, until I decided to, what I quote unquote say, major in my own problem in order to claim my worth. I became a money mindset mentor with a unique expertise and formula to help you crack your money code and go from confusion and chaos to clarity, confidence, and cash. So how this led me to my why and who I serve? This journey to uplevel my wealth blueprint led me to my why because much of my career, I was in counselor education and I had my own coaching program at a graduate school in Minneapolis. So at that time, I also coached top leaders at companies like PricewaterhouseCoopers and Facebook. And it was really like the opposite of two worlds, being in higher education and in the corporate world. So those in the graduate school that I taught were on their way to becoming therapists, but they were often trapped in that cycle of trading dollars for hours, whereas my corporate clients were mostly millionaires. So I became very curious about the mindset influencing these two very different populations. Many of the counselors I was teaching were demonstrating imposter syndrome, anxiety, fear, or guilt when it came to valuing the service that they provided. And unfortunately, we did not teach them about the business side of how to run a private practice. As a result, many had stress over how to make ends meet and having money, and they were caught into that cycle of stress. And how do I run a business? How do I charge my worth? So as I eventually moved myself into private practice and let go of higher education and my corporate, you know, position, I came to understand this firsthand myself. And it was at this time that I really started to excavate my own money mindset to determine how I could bring value to my clients. And while I help people with a lot of different issues, especially clarity around career life purpose, because that was my jam for a long time, and that's what I taught, I started to become very passionate about helping heart-centered coaches and wellness entrepreneurs who really wanted to make a big impact in the world, crack their money code, and hit seven figures without feeling overwhelmed and stressed out. So what does that all entail? First of all, it's really understanding the energy of money. Money is energy. Everything is energy, right? And we often don't think about money as that source of energy. And there's energy attached to how we attract money and manifest it into our lives. There's energy around having money. There's energy around spending money. And sometimes people feel a lot of restriction around that, or they overdo it. There's energy around saving and investing money. So it's really about understanding what's kind of your DNA. What are your own patterns and habits in regard to money? And based on what I observed and began learning about prosperity, because I really fell down the rabbit hole and I studied all the prosperity gurus throughout the years, going, you know, back into the 1800s, you know, there were a lot of books that were written about prosperity. And some of the still old adages ring true. And when I began to learn about these principles, I concluded that there were really five key elements to one's money mindset. And those elements, and I'm going to just give a quick overview, and then I'm going to go in a little bit more depth and share some stories and examples of each. So the first one is our beliefs around money. And that would be both conscious beliefs, but also the things that are operating on the subconscious. Second would be our self-talk around money, whether we're talking in an empowering way or a disempowering way to ourselves about money. The third is our whole self-concept and identity in relationship to money, and realizing that we're always in a relationship with money. 24/7, every day out of the year, we're in a relationship with money. The fourth thing is our self-worth, which is feeling deserving and worthy of receiving or having money. And the last one is how we value our time, our expertise, and our, you know, the services that we provide, you know, our experience, what we offer out to the world, our purpose. You know, that is the thing that we value too, because our time is one of those non-renewable resources. So let's dive a little bit deeper now into some of these key points so that I can help you crack your money code so that you can become intentionally wealthy instead of intentionally broke, right? So let's unearth your beliefs about money and both the conscious and subconscious beliefs. So our beliefs about money really shape our financial reality. So think about those beliefs as operating, kind of the operating system running in the background of your mind. So it's kind of like a computer, kind of like the hard drive or the software. So are you running an outdated software? Then it's time for an upgrade. So take a moment to reflect on your beliefs. Are they empowering or limiting? For instance, do you believe that money is hard to come by? Or do you believe that abundance is your natural state of being? So take a moment right now to quickly write down three things that you believe about money. And I'm just going to take a pause for a moment so that you can do that. What are the first three things that come to mind when you think about your beliefs about money? Got it? So I want you to realize that your brain often lies to you. We think we're operating reality all the time, but it sometimes lies to you. So are your thoughts empowering or limiting? For instance, do you believe that money is hard to come by? Or do you believe that abundance is your natural state? You can challenge and begin to replace any limiting beliefs with empowering ones. This is not just a mental exercise. This is really a transformational practice to do. So it's really considering that iceberg analogy. Your conscious beliefs are just the tip of the iceberg, while the vast majority, the subconscious beliefs, lie beneath the surface. So to truly shift your money mindset, you must delve deep and address those hidden beliefs. So as mentioned a little bit earlier, the subconscious is primarily programmed from the time you're born until about age 7. We're in a theta state, so we take in all this information, kind of like a fire hose, without discernment, without saying, hey, that doesn't work for me, you know, or that doesn't. We take in information from authority figures, from parents, from teachers, from people that we see on TV, from people that we respect in our community, from other family members. And we also carry beliefs that we inherit from ancestors. Believe it or not, science can now prove that we inherit beliefs 3 generations back. If you're curious about the science backing this up, I highly recommend the book, It Didn't Start With You, by Mark Wolin. It's a great one on the topic, and it has a lot of backing science too, and a lot of good antidotes on patterns that often repeat generationally. But we also carry beliefs about programs from past lives and also from group consciousness. You know, what we believe that we accept from society, from what we believe about what is true or possible for us or impossible for us, conversely. So how do you clear inner money blocks? That's the big question, right? So the first thing I would recommend is, just like when you're clearing your house, start by creating a vacuum by clearing clutter. I don't know if any of you are into feng shui. I am, and I recently feng shui'd my house, which meant removing physical clutter so that energy is not stuck and it can flow more freely. Because when we have stuck energy, you know, prosperity has a hard time flowing to us. We can't think, we're not as innovative, but we also carry around a lot of emotional clutter at times. And that is often stuck energy that weighs us down. Intangible clutter tends to be in the form of regrets, resentment that we carry, or shame and guilt that we often turn inward on ourselves. And this is where forgiveness can be so transformational. And I want to just give a brief example of this that came from my family. When I was a senior in college, my grandfather suddenly divorced my grandmother after 49 years of marriage. And it was just a shock to all of us. None of us saw that one coming at all. They seemed happily married. And my mother was one of 6 children. And they all reacted to that divorce differently. You know, it was a really painful and difficult experience for our family. And because my grandmother was leaning on my mom a lot for support, my grandfather just kind of pushed her away. And they had kind of a wall that grew up between them, and they didn't talk for 5 years. And it really grew into this sense of bitterness. And suddenly, you know, and then my grandfather married my grandma's best friend. So that added even more, you know, animosity and angst to that whole, you know, situation. And my grandfather was diagnosed then with ALS, with Lou Gehrig's disease. And because mom wasn't talking to grandpa, we weren't talking to grandpa either. You know how some of those grudges get perpetuated in families? Sadly, that's what happened. And my dad kept begging my mother to make amends. You know, why don't you make amends with your dad while he's still alive? Don't you want to see him again? You know, do you want to carry that grudge with you for the rest of your life? And she'd just kind of, you know, say, no, you know, kind of what he did was unforgivable. And finally, one day after church, they were going for a drive, and mom's like, "Where are we going?" You know, because he took her out for lunch. And he said, "We're going to go to that nursing home and we're going to see your father." I get kind of emotional when I tell this story. And my mom just put up her protest and didn't want to go. But when she got there, he was so, so happy to see her. Never in her life, he was kind of an Archie Bunker type of dude. She had never ever been told that she was loved, ever, nor had any of her siblings. But he was so happy to see her that he held her hand in my dad's and told her how much he loved. And so I'm just going to have to wait myself here. She had this sense of connection and got to hear those words of love that she never heard her entire life. And it was like this whole weight was lifted because there was forgiveness. So I invite you to think, you know, where are things that are heavy emotions weighing you down? Because we can all think lighter thoughts. We can forgive ourselves. Sometimes we're so hard on ourselves, and that keeps stuck energy there too. And that makes us feel unworthy and think unworthy thoughts about our ability to create wealth and have nice things. So find ways to get at what's underlying you and getting in your way. So when you think about the underlying fears, what bad thing are you afraid of happening if you choose to receive the money that you desire? Is there a reason that you don't want your desires to come true? Like paying taxes. That's one my husband uses. But, you know, that's part of being wealthy, is you're going to end up in a higher tax bracket. Maybe a fear that you'll become selfish or that people will try to take advantage of you because you have money, or that you'll suddenly become some greedy, selfish individual. But you always have a choice. So ask, what do I choose now to be true for me instead? And then think about, you know, am I setting energetic minimums or maximums about my ability to earn? And if I am, what are those? So the next key point is really understanding that money is a relationship. That like any other relationship in your life, depends on trust, depends on nurturing, and depends on some rules, right? You know, we all have boundaries and rules in our relationships. If you don't, people walk all over you. And let's face it, you know, like I said earlier, you're in a relationship with money 24/7 every day of your life. So how do you currently relate to money? Do you treat it with respect and gratitude or with fear and neglect? So start viewing money as a partner in your life and one that needs attention and care. How do you get to a point where money is now there for you, supports you, is attracted to you, where you trust money, where it solves problems instead of creating them? Just as you nurture personal relationships by spending quality time and expressing appreciation, do the same with your money. Check in with your finances. Don't be afraid of your numbers. Express gratitude for what money you do have, even if it's just a little bit, because that positive relationship will attract more of it. So change the dialogue and embrace a growth versus a fixed mindset regarding money, knowing that you can learn how to manage it, grow it, save it, spend it, and invest it. Even if you don't know how now, you can learn and you can be a good steward of money. Here's the next one. Be your future self now. We are not driven by the past. We are pulled forward by the future that we are most committed to. And Viktor Frankl said, human beings are driven by their view of their own future. Without hope in your future, your present loses meaning. It loses meaning. So up-level your self-concept. Your self-concept is your identity in relationship to money. So if you see yourself as somebody who's broke, who struggles with money, that identity will be reflected in your financial reality. Conversely, if you see yourself as somebody who's wealthy and capable, that identity will attract wealth and abundance into your life. So one powerful exercise to do is to visualize your future self, like 2 years out, the version of you who has already achieved financial success. How does that version of you act, think, feel about money? Start embodying those traits now. Dress the part, speak the part, think the part, and your self-concept will begin to shift, and your financial reality will follow that. Friends, that is the quickest way to up-level your wealth consciousness. You don't have to wait till you have a certain amount of money in the bank to start seeing yourself as wealthy or as a wealthy entrepreneur. Start now and decide that you are no longer available for self-shaming or self-limiting thoughts about money or your worthiness to have it. The shift in self-concept is truly a game changer. It will pull you to wealth faster than merely setting goals and action steps to make more money. And self-worth is really the foundation of your financial success. Do you feel deserving of receiving money? Because many people really struggle. I shared with you my own experience, believing that they're not worthy of wealth. And that was my prior experience. And this often stems from childhood experiences, as we mentioned earlier, societal conditioning, or things that we inherit in from programming from our ancestors. But feeling deserving of wealth is not about entitlement. It's about recognizing your inherent worth and value. So start by acknowledging your achievements and your contributions. Take time every day to celebrate your successes, no matter how small they might seem. This builds your self-worth, and it reinforces the belief that you are deserving of wealth. Another effective practice is affirmations, repeatedly affirming your worthiness, or even asking, because it forces your subconscious to go looking for it. Why am I so worthy of wealth? You know, your subconscious, you're giving it an assignment to go looking for that. Why am I so deserving of financial abundance? It's kind of putting a little twist on affirmations, calling it affirmations. This can help you program your subconscious to readily accept and attract the wealth that you desire. Susie Orman had a really wonderful quote that I love that said, "When you understand that your self-worth is not determined by your net worth, then you'll have true financial freedom." Then. So keep in mind that what you focus on grows. Your thoughts become your beliefs. Your beliefs become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. And your habits become your destiny. I forgot who said that, but it's a quote that I've always resonated with. But I do know who said, I think it was T. Harv Eker who wisely said, "How you do money is how you do everything." So think about this as a blueprint, you know, for everything. So be aware of your self-talk about money. Again, is it empowering or disempowering? The way that you speak to yourself can either lift you up or hold you back.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session of Catalyze. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.